Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you today to this study. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is real and our God is alive, and the Bible says, though he be not far off, and he's not far off, is he? Any of y'all that's been born again for quite a while, and you others, you know that the Lord is faithful, and you know that he never leaves us and he never forsakes us, and we have to trust in that. Well, welcome. We're going back into our study of life today, and we'll see how the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about life himself. That was the category that we left off. We're on the study of life, the letter L in our ABCs of Christian growth. And we asked the question to begin with, what is life? And the Bible has not told us a specific answer, a one-line answer for what is life. The Bible has described, God's Word has described life in many different ways, and many different avenues of life, and many different states of life. And there's life terrestrial and life celestial. And there's eternal life, there's natural life, there's the triumphant life, and the Bible speaks of all of these. But we went through those, and we began our study with some things that the Lord said about life. We talked about that the Lord said one type of life is more important than another type of life, and we've seen the scriptures concerning that. And he told us what life to count as important, and not that it's not worth, the life is not worth anything, talking about a natural life, but because we have to live in these bodies until the Lord comes. But what he's particularly talking about is comparing life with life. The Lord said that life is not formed or originate in or lie in or dwell or is comprised of stuff. The Lord made a big deal out of that. He spoke in many different scriptures in Timothy and Luke and in Matthew concerning and others concerning stuff, concerning coveting, and even if you're not coveting, but to count the possessions that you have, and that's all they are, is possessions. You don't own anything here. You possess it. And if you look at your Bible closely and God's words, God does not say that you own anything here. He says that you have an inheritance that's going to, an eternal inheritance. Now, that's going to be yours, but that's in eternity. That's eternal life. But in this temporal life, in the natural body, in on the earth here, you only possess stuff. And the Bible tells us, and the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, that your possessions are not worth fighting over. They're not worth having. They're vanity, the Bible said. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. The Lord said that a man weighed in the balances is altogether vanity. It's a complete waste. It doesn't mean anything concerning eternity and life in eternity and life as the Lord sees life. The Lord come down. The Lord never intended for there. He put us on this earth. Man on this earth, made man of this earth, but the original creation was not meant to be in this form, in the way it is. The Lord didn't make it to be like it is. It got messed up, and the Lord's put together a plan, and it's going to come to a close soon. The Lord Jesus Christ has done taking care of the payment and taking care of the problem. And now it's just a matter of waiting until the end. and waiting on the Lord and waiting on when the Lord thinks it's just the right time. But everything's moving back toward an eternal existence, eternity. And we're going to be there. But the Lord said, as far as your stuff, quit wasting your time thinking about your stuff. There's some of y'all out there that can't go a whole day without thinking about your bank account. There's some of you out there that can't go a whole day without going to the store to get something. And 95% of the time, you don't know what you're going after. You're just going. So you can come back with stuff. That's how we are. And if you ain't careful, the devil will get you tied up in that kind of mess. And that television and that radio and those newspapers and all that kind of stuff are not on your side. They're designed to teach you to covet and teach you that you need something and you need some help and you need the government and you need to go get this right away because you don't have it and you need it. And majority of the stuff that you have, you've been talked into getting. How many of you ever got a hold of something or got? How many of you got something at your house right now that you thought about? I don't really need that, or I better not. I don't need to get that, but you got it anyway, and you got it at the house, and you're trying to like it, but you just knew you ought not have it, but you got it anyway, just so you could have some stuff. We all do it. The Lord told us that life is not formed by that. It doesn't originate in that. Life does not lie in possessions. It doesn't dwell in possessions. We're talking about life. And then the Lord told us something else. He said that life is... the majority of people, the majority of human beings, the majority of souls are going to take the broad way. They're going to go after the stuff. They're going to go after the popularity, going to go after the possessions, going to go after the respect, and I'm going to get my respect. They're going to go the broad way. They're going to go where the big lights are and follow deceit. That's where the majority is going to go. The Lord said that there's few that are going to take, that are going to find it. The straight path, the narrow path. The straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. I'm glad the Lord found it for us, aren't you? I'm glad He showed up that day. The Lord showed up that day and showed me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God. And gave me the opportunity to be part of His family. And gave me the faith to accept Him. Aren't you? You better be. You sure are. I know you answered yes. You better had. The Lord said, life is to be both loved and hated. Now, people that hate God's not going to understand that. And unbelievers and the natural man's not going to understand that. How can you both love and hate life? Well, you've got to understand life in a spiritual tone. You got to understand life way that the scriptures talk about it. Only the scriptures and the word of God can explain how life can be loved and life can be hated at the same time. There's only one type of life that a man has in the natural body and in the natural state, and that's natural life, living in the body. He's unsaved. He has no hope in God. He's alone and without God in the world, and he's headed to hell. And then the lake of fire, after a judgment seat where an almighty creator, his creator, is going to condemn him forever. The Lord said preserving one's life is to be priority over everything. How in the world can a man that has even a little bit of light of the truth and an opportunity to turn to turn to the Lord and receive eternal life as a free gift. Everybody in the world is looking for something free now. It's amazing how everybody's talking about new stuff and free stuff. Free, free, free. Free, free, free. Give me free. Free, free, free. But they don't want that free eternal life. Eternal life is free. Absolutely free. Matter of fact, you can't get it any other way. Right now. But the majority is not going to take free life. They would rather go by their own self-righteousness and stand on their own 2 feet and account for themselves by themselves. And boy, are they going to be sorry for it. Not me. I'm going to stand before the Lord with the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness on me. Aren't you? Matter of fact, we already have it if you're born again. The Lord said preserving one's life is to be priority over everything. And the world and its attitude and its thought patterns right now, and they're going to get worse and worse. And since I was a boy, they have tripled worse. That society does not care about the things of God and does not care about spiritual things unless they're devilish. They don't care about spiritual things. They don't care about eternal life. They worry about that later. I'm worried about getting my possessions right now and getting my status and getting my this and that and the other. And then I'll think about getting eternal life later. And then they're walking along one day and that eternal door opens up under their feet and they fall through that trap door into eternity and there they are. Too late. The Lord said that you better do every single thing that you know. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. He said, you better do every single thing that you possibly can and that you know that leads to truth and leads to life. And you better not deny it, and you better not turn the shoulder at it, and you better not snuff the nose at it. You better accept it and get it and keep it. And buy it if you have to. But you can't buy this kind of life. But that's the way that the importance that the Lord applied on that in Matthew and in Isaiah. I think Proverbs even talked about it that we talked about. Then also the Lord said that there's another world. Well, I think that's where we left off, I think. The Lord said that there was another world that's to come that's not the same as this one. That's not the same as this one. And he said also that in that world is where eternal life is. Remember? He said that in Mark and in Matthew. And I think we read 1 Corinthians and Ecclesiastes also having to do with that. Then the Lord also said that he would and give his life, his flesh, for the life, eternal life, of the world. And he did. The Lord talked about life, and whenever he was talking about life, he talked about his own life, and that he was going to sacrifice his life. That's why he came into the world, was to give his life for the world. That's what the Lord said. And he did. And I've been saved for 40 years because of what he did. And I have all of his promises that I have eternal life. And that I'm to be absent from the body, natural life, is to be present with the Lord, eternal life. We're going to be with him. And he is able to keep that which we have committed against him, committed to him against that day. He will and can keep his promises and will not let us down. You can depend on that. Aren't you glad of that? You know, all these other gods in this world, they can't say that. They can't claim that. Whenever they get their little followers and this, that, and the other, however many they get, they can't claim that they're going to give them eternal life and promise them that they have the power, that they're going to resurrect them and bring them to live in paradise with them. They can't do that because they can't get themselves out of the grave. Jesus did. Jesus did. He's not there. He is risen. And then another thing the Lord said was that life is to be respected. That was the last one that we talked about last recording. The Lord said that life is to be respected. He said, and he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace because they knew better. They knew the answer. The Lord, that was rhetorical. The Lord threw that question out there to make them think how stupid they were and behaving. And we've got some of those stupid questions in society and among men today. Well, is it right or wrong to abort a child? Yeah. Foolish questions and unlearned questions. Questions that should never be asked because the answer is natural. Nature teaches that life is precious. Nature itself doth teach us. The Lord said that. And every part of his natural world does teach us. The animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the heavens declare the glory of God. Everything shows us all the scenery we see and the beauty of this world, and this world's decaying. This is God's creation going sour, not sour because of him, because of sin. The world's breaking down, but you can still see God's creative beauty in it. But talking about life. So we're going to start today and finish up some things that the Lord said and continue here. The first thing we're going to talk about is that the Lord said how life in one life is spent will have effect on things in another life. In other words, while you're in the body, in the natural life, on this earth, however you spend this life is going to affect another life, your eternal life. It's going to affect it. The Bible says that. In John chapter 4 and verse 36, it says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. He's talking about something that you do here in the natural life and how you're going to reap it in life eternal. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Talking about doing something in one life and it have an effect in another life. The Lord said that about life. Then he said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14 through 16, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit unto perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. He's talking about how your natural life as a saved person has bearing and shows and affects the people around you and the life to come for them. You are a light. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, before I got saved, there was a man named Jack Chick. that's been around. He's gone to be with the Lord now. His son, I think, is the one that's drawing the tracks. But the chick tracks, I used to read them things all the time before I got saved. I couldn't get enough of them. It's like comic books. But while I was reading those things, I was interested in the stories that he would tell about Thanksgiving and about Halloween and about this and about that. I was interested in the truth, and I was interested in the comic part of it and the reading of it. But all that time that I was come across those things, unsaved, and reading those things, that word, God's word that was written in those tracts, was affecting me little by little by little by little. And then one day in the military, the Lord gave me a set of orders to Ramstein, Germany. And I went over there in 1980 and was asked to come to church by a man I only met one time, and he disappeared in my life. He went to church with me that one time that he asked me to come, and he disappeared after the service, and I've never seen him since. But I got saved because partly of all those tracks that people had been putting out and had crossed my path so many times. You never underestimate the light that you have and the light the Lord has, the gift that the Lord has given you to be a light. The Bible says, while you have light, believe in the light. The Lord said how life in one life is spent will have effect on things in another life. We've got a couple of judgments coming up. There are three judgments that I think of right now. The judgment seat of Christ. That's not a judgment of condemnation. That's a judgment of works that a Christian has done in the body since he's been born again. Then there's the judgment, the sheep and goat judgment, that's called is called in Christendom, around the Christian realm, is called the sheep and goat judgment, because the Lord compared them to sheep and goats and called them that. He said he was going to put the sheep on one side and the goats on the other. But it's concerning nations. He's going to judge nations and how they treated the Jews, Israel, during the tribulation. And he's going to judge them. And some people are going to get eternal life, and some people are going to go to hell. And then there's the white throne judgment, where all the dead are raised, and the people through the millennium and others are going to come before the Lord at the white throne. And that's when things are going to be winding up at that judgment. And people are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Excuse me. So the Lord said how life in one life is spent will have an effect on the things in another life. Do not underestimate the importance of your walk in the Spirit as a Christian in this life. That's all that matters in your life, is how you spend your life as a spiritual person, which you are, because your flesh is dead. It's headed back to the dirt. The Lord said to reckon your flesh, reckon your body dead. When you think about your body, you think of it as being just a carcass that you're carrying around on you right now, and that's all it is. It's going back to the dirt. Unless the Lord comes and you're one of the ones that's going to be raptured that are still alive. Which is possible right now because we're right there. But if not, you're going to leave that body here and you're going to go be with the Lord. And that body is, somebody's going to have the task of taking your old nasty body and throwing it in the grave and burying you with a shovel. And the Lord's going to give it back to you perfect, like unto His glorious body one day, a new body. But the Lord said, reckon yourself dead. And the importance of this life right here and how you spend it's going to affect you in eternity. You need to get that down and understand that and keep that at the front of your thinking. because this world is designed right now through the news media and through the deceit in the world to get your thinking away from eternal things and get your thinking right here, right now. Get all you can get. Be the biggest person you can be. Succeed, succeed, succeed. And don't nobody know what they're talking about. There's no such thing. This is all temporal. It's going to come to an end, and the Lord's going to burn every bit of it. If you believe your Bible. The Lord said there is an offer of life, eternal. And the alternative for the ones who will not receive the offer is to perish. That's what the Bible says. It says to be condemned. That's what the Bible says. It says will not pass from death. That's what the Bible says. Will not be safely in the Lord's hand. That's what the Bible says. It also says will stay dead. And also it says God's wrath abides on them. That's what the Bible says. The Lord said how life in one life is spent will have effect on the things in another life. Listen to John chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now is the first reason for believing that the Lord said, whosoever believeth, the first thing, shall not perish. Aren't you glad of that? I didn't get saved because of everything that I knew about heaven and all the gold and all the 12 foundations made of precious stone and the city that looks like a glass city because the gold is so pure. I didn't get saved because I knew all that or even desired all that. I got saved because I was scared and I knew there was a powerful God that could put me in hell like His Word said. And I was scared of hell is the reason I got saved. But the Lord said that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That's the first reason that the Lord designed all this plan, was that people would not perish. Jesus said, I have come to save. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. The condemnation's already here. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:36 says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Past tense. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Present tense. John chapter 5 and verse 24 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, like you're doing right now, and believeth on him that sent me, hath, present tense, everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation. Did you hear that? Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Passed from death unto life. John chapter 6, verse 47 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, present tense, everlasting life. Life, everlasting life. That's what you're looking for, ain't it? That's what the world's looking for, everlasting life. John chapter 10, verse 28 says, And I give unto them eternal life. And they, just in case you don't know what eternal life is, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's me and you if you're saved. The Lord said nobody can get us unsaved and out of his hand, and we shall never perish. And in case we don't know what that means, it's called eternal life. John 11:25, listen to this. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That right there, what I just got through reading in them 3, 4, 5 verses, is exactly what the entire world, almost 8 billion people on the planet, that's what every single soul on the planet is looking for. They just got different ideas about how they're going to approach it and how much they're going to humble themselves and what God they're going to serve to get it. But every one of them's thinking about it. The Lord said that one life and how it's spent is going to have an effect on the things in another life. The Lord said in John chapter 5, and verse 39 and 40, search the scriptures. That's what we're doing right now. We're not saying what we think. We're reading God's word and finding out what saith the Lord. Not what we think or not what we would like it to say, but what does the scripture say? Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Let me ask you a question. Who is your Savior? Who's going to get you to heaven? You're right. Jesus Christ. You know what you just done? You just testified of Him. Listen to the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come unto me that ye might have life? Well, I bet sometime when Jesus was here, and even right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, the people that turned the Lord away and snuffed the nose and turned the shoulder and turned the back and lift the heel against him, he must think that, I don't think the Lord understands that, or that he wants to understand it. It's got to be, he said he was grieved at the hardness of their hearts. It grieved him because he knew everything they were going to get by just accepting him and the reason that he came. And it's so easy and simple. The Lord could not have made going to heaven and getting eternal life any simpler. The only problem with mankind is that mankind has to tell the truth in order to get it. And that's the offense of the cross, is that if you believe Jesus died for you, then you also believe the reasons why he died. And that is that man is rotten and evil to the core, and no good and completely vain. Man likes to think he is the measure of all things. I am man. And that's the way the world is. But they're wrong. Because death is coming. Old age will humble you, won't it? Seen a lot of proud fellas get older and older and older, and the older they get, the more humbler they get. Humbler, if that's a word. It's one of my words. You'll learn it. Search the scriptures, friend, and you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. and you will not come to me that you might have life. You're just going to play it out and play it out and hope that what God says does not come true having to do with you. Bad, bad choice. And finally, well, there's a couple more here. Let's see what else the Lord said concerning life. The Lord said His words that He spoke unto us are, capital A-R-E, life. The Lord said that His words that He spoke unto us are life. Remember what we're talking about now. We're talking about life. What is life? Well, Jesus just gave us an answer what it is. When you ask, what is life? Jesus said, His words that He spoke unto us are life. Let's see if the Scripture says that. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, this is the Lord talking, it is the Spirit of man, that quickeneth, comes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's going back to the dirt. The words, what are words? Words are something that somebody speaks that can be written in a book, on a page. Words. The words that I speak, the Lord said, unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So God's word has to do with life. As a matter of fact, He said they are life. There's a lot of folks in the Christian realm now that underestimate that book. I don't. I love God's Word. And I know how powerful it is. And one thing that the Lord taught me early that I really appreciate about Him and that He confirmed and nailed down is not to let anybody ever get me away from God's Word or to take God's Word from me or to exchange God's Word for me. And He's honored that with me, and I've never had a problem in that realm. Never. The devil's always tried to take God's Word from me and throw temptations about God's Word, and he'll do that to you. But God's Word, don't ever let anybody take or exchange God's Word. Because He said they are life. It is amazing and scary at the same time that after the Lord Himself telling us how important His words are when it comes to life, He said they are life, that anyone in the name of scholarship would think themselves wise enough, that wiser than God, and attempt to change them. I'm not very smart, but if you change the words that are life, do you change life? I mean, if God's words are life, like He said, and you change them around, does that affect the life that He's talking about that they are? You change them if you want to, and you mess with that book if you want to, but not me. I'm taking it just like God said, as it said. That's what Booker T. Washington said one time. Somebody walked up and asked him, said, Mr. Washington, do you understand the whole Bible? And he said, no, sir, I just take it as it reads. I'm for him. And that's how I do. I just take it as it reads. And God the Holy Ghost is faithful if you are honest and sincere in your heart about learning God's Word and not trying to manipulate Him and make the book say what you want it to say. The Holy Ghost, God the Holy Ghost, will teach you. And he will bring that book back to your remembrance. He'll keep that in your mind and in your heart, and he'll honor you for that. You change them if you want to, but not me. And look at this. Look at the in-your-face warning in the scriptures themselves. They seem to just completely blow right by everybody that piddles around with God's words. We're talking about God's words that Jesus said are life. If you want to find out something about life, the Lord said his words are life. So you start examining what life is and the truth and the reality of what life is, and you're looking at God's words. Well, if you're manipulating and changing God's words, you're manipulating changing life. And who knows who's going to get life? I'm following the Lord and what he says, and I'm staking my soul on it. I'm putting all my chips on the Lord and his word. That's what I'm doing. You do what you want to do. I'm doing that. But listen to this. The Lord even gave a warning about it in Revelation chapter 22. Remember that? In verse 18 and 19, he said, "For I testify unto every man," that includes all of us, "every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things," I didn't misunderstand that at all, did you? "If any man shall add unto these things," he didn't say what to add or what not to add. He said if you just add to them. "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Seem like red flags ought to be flying for everybody, just because of what God said right there. But you got people all over this country messing with the book. And I'm afraid there's going to be a whole bunch of them that's going to stand in front of the Lord, and he's going to say, "What'd you say my word said? That ain't what I wrote. That ain't what I spoke. Where'd you get that from? Well, I thought it sounded better this way." "Oh, you what?" Well, let me show you the results of your thinking it sounded better this way. First of all, you was lying in your heart because you didn't believe my word to begin with. And second of all, look at all the people that were affected in your life because of that. And look at the people that I got to put in hell because of that. You got to be careful. The Bible says God's words are life. The Lord said that there is a tree of life. I don't know of any tree of life on the planet. I've never seen a tree of life. But God says that there's a tree of life. There's a crown of life. I've never seen a crown of life. But God says there's one. And he says there is a book of life. Now, I've seen a book of life. You know something? The same book that I grew up with and the same book that I got saved with has been with me my entire life, and it's sitting right in front of me right this very second. And it's the same book with the same words. And it says the same thing, and it ain't never changed. And it mean, now I've found out a lot more since I was a young boy and since I first started understanding anything from God's Word. 50 years, 60 years of it. But it's the same. It's not changed. God never changed it or tried to trick me. And he never confused me in that book. Not ever. And he won't you either. The Lord said his words that he spoke unto us are life. We're talking about life. So if you say that you're interested in knowing how important life is and knowing what God's Word says about life, then you will also be interested in how important God's words are, because He said they are life. Now let's read some scriptures and we'll stop this program right here, because that's the last thing that we have in this section, what the Lord spoke about life in our study of life. And from here on, we're going to go into life, a final look, final thoughts, and some truths. Life, a final look, thoughts, and truths. We're going to start closing this study out, but these are going to be some very interesting things that you're going to see. We're going to bring some different factors in. Still talking about life and still seeing what God's Word says. And I think you're going to be real interested in this. From here on, we're going to start taking a final look at things and what the Bible says. We've talked about natural life. We've talked about eternal life. We've talked about the Christian and triumphant life. We've talked about spiritual life. We've talked about what the Lord said about life. And now we're going to start closing out or taking a final look at what the Bible says about life and some different things that the Bible says about life, okay? So let's read some scriptures together and just see what the Bible says concerning this last part here. His words that He spoke unto us our life. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Remember, we talked about there being a crown of life. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 3, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow." You know, a lot of people have a problem with believing that there's a book of life that God has authored, and it is, the Bible says, the scriptures say of themselves that the Word of God is alive, that it lives. It liveth and abideth forever. So if you believe that there's a book of life, why wouldn't you believe that there's a crown of life? The Bible says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, which names are written in the book of life." There's a book specifically called the book of life. And if you go on into Revelation and read some of the scriptures in there and find some of the truths in there, you find out that that's where the names are written of those that are going to live and have life. Your name is in there. You're born again. Your name's in there. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. The Bible says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So there are people whose names are written in the book of life and people whose names are not written in the book of life that are still going to worship the Lord. The Bible says, "Every knee shall bow." In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12 and 15, the Bible says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books." Those are the books of works, according to their works. So see, everything that you do in life is being recorded. It's being written down. It's called the book of works, written in the books according to their works. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Revelation 21:27 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Glory to God. And Revelation chapter 22, verse 2 and 14, listen to this. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. That's a whole different study, but we're talking about life. The Bible says there's a book of life. It says there's a crown of life, a tree of life. Life, life, life. We're talking about life. And there's a book of life. And the Lord was kind enough to give you a copy. And you ought to honor him and respect that book and honor that book and honor them words and give the Lord honor with them words. And read them. And read them. And study them. And that's what you're doing right now. God bless you. You see, we're studying together. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to stop there. And let me give you these scriptures, okay? You got your pencil? Or pen or whatever it is you use. Let me find my place here. It's somewhere. There it is. John chapter 4, verse 36. Luke chapter 8, verse 14 through 16. John chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 6, verse 47. John chapter 10, verse 28. John talked a whole bunch about life, didn't he? John chapter 11, verse 25. John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40. John chapter 6, verse 63. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. James chapter 1, verse 12. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 and 15. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. And Revelation chapter 22, verse 2 and 14. And those are the verses for today's study. Thank you so much for studying with me and us studying together. It's tremendous, isn't it, to study God's Word. And everything that we've talked about today, you can believe. Not because I said it or that I was talking. All I was doing was just saying what God's Word said. But you got all those verses that you can fall back on and you can say, I know that these things are true about life because this is what God's Word says. And that's your doctrine. That's what you believe because that's what your Savior says. And we can believe that. So, the Lord be kind to you, and I appreciate you. And maybe one day, before we go to be with the Lord, we can meet and have fellowship together. If not, we'll wait on the Lord and the shout, and we'll all go up together. But until then, we'll study God's Word, right? Well, you have a wonderful evening, and the Lord be kind to you and your family. And let's pray for one another. I pray every day. And I'll pray for you if you pray for me. Or I'll pray for you anyway. But pray for me too, okay? The Lord said, pray for one another. The Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.